The Bible reading for the sermon is that which was just read, and I want to put special emphasis on verse 17 with the theme of the standard for gracious living. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us to this day in faith and in life. And we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Give us the wisdom and the courage and strength to put over against the terror of sin and death in our time the power of Jesus' love and grace. In his name we pray. Amen. We're always relating grace to sin, just as St. Paul did to the Roman Empire and the early Christians in it, and we in our time to the terrorism of sin and death, which we were reminded of in an article in the Wall Street Journal describing the bombing of Tripoli. A 25-year-old medical student whose cousin's house had been bombed and she was killed was describing this event of terrorism upon himself as the photographers and journalists were covering the story of the dead bodies in the streets. He said, "I am a civilized man, and I want you to judge those who pretend that they are civilized people." He raised a profound question. We too, among those who had been terrorized by the bombings in Rome and Vienna, had cried out to the civilized world, "We have to do something about this." But the civilized world did not have it within itself to deal with this evil. As Toynbee said, many civilizations have passed away before. We cannot expect that the civilized world will help us in face of terror and sin. Only the grace of God can. And that's what Paul is mentioning here, the standard, the mold of the grace of God in Jesus Christ can overcome sin. And the first thing we have to do is unite with that power of God's grace. And he uses the sacred image of baptism. We are buried. We should bury our sin, and we are buried with Christ in baptism. And once we do that, that we are united with the grace of Christ, we can have the power to overcome sin. He gives us that power. Now, that's hard to understand. But if we really wrestle with it and surrender to Christ and his Spirit, we are helped. I'm reminded even of a 5-year-old child, Alicia John, the daughter of Sebastian and Mrs. John, who's studying here on a graduate degree, pastor from Brazil. They received a letter saying that her aunt, Alicia's aunt, was going to have a baby. She's 2 months pregnant. And Alicia got all excited about this, and she drew a picture. As she looked forward, you see, she sees in her little mind already, her young mind, the importance of baptism. She drew a picture, and she showed the pastor holding this little baby over the baptismal font. And there were the parents and the relatives standing in that support circle around the little child. And in the midst of the support circle stood Jesus. We have to have the warmth of God's love and the power of Jesus' grace around us. And that takes a radical change for our modern civilization, our civilized world. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, and as the missionary apostles preached, Jesus said, "You must be born again." And the early apostles said, "Repent and be baptized." That's radical change. because the appeal is to the physical power. Even in the day that this was announced, of this terrorism and this bombing, there was an account of the successful testing of the electron gun, the entrance into the civilization of the Star Wars. Jesus is saying it takes a different kind of change. You must be born again, a radical change. We can understand the physical basis of this and the physical birth. We did in our own family on the 1st of April. Our elder daughter was expecting, and then 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened with a telephone call. Daddy, this is Mary. My water sack broke. Tell Mommy, what day is it? I says, it's Tuesday. Well, I'll be in the hospital a day, and it'll take her a half a day to drive here, and I'll be coming home from the hospital on Thursday afternoon. Tell her to start out Thursday morning. I says, God be with you. I'll give you a safe delivery. And in 7 hours, the baby is born. Nicodemus could understand that. He said, must I enter into my mother's womb again? We can understand the basis of this analogy. But even that's a radical change, to be born in a physical life. The father cuts the umbilical cord, and the lifeline to the past is gone. And the child hits the cold world and screams. Some doctors put it in warm water so it can tolerate the change. We have to say to this civilization, repent and be baptized. You must be born again. That's radical change. Because so many of our parishioners, when we were pastors, they too looked to the physical side. I remember being a pastor's parsonage, talking with him late at night, and the phone rang. This fellow called up, wanted to see the pastor right away. I could hear overhear the phone conversation. It was a serious event. I says, what happened after the phone call? Oh, he said, this father, you know, we've had all these articles in the newspaper about arson. This family hasn't been coming to church, but now he called. He said, they caught the person. It was my son. And he started crying on the phone. He said, Pastor, every Sunday I took my son down on the Ohio River and we had boat rides. Again, you notice the appeal is to what can we do in the physical world? The apostles and Jesus require that we repent and are born again. That's radical change. That's the standard of gracious living, not the standard of physical life that we look to in our civilization. And we have to teach that. The important word for me here is typon didaskes, a standard, a mold that he's putting over against, the grace of the gospel and obedience to it. He said, take heart, be encouraged. We have to encourage one another. You have been obedient to the standard of teaching which was delivered to you, to which you are committed. And we know what this was from early Christianity. It included belief in the death and resurrection of Jesus, repentance, the coming judgment, and we should love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the basics. They're all summarized. Baptism is included there too in Hebrews, where this list is enumerated. They're all in the basics of Luther's small catechism. And we have to have someone to teach that. And we're especially concerned about the years ahead in the declining enrollment in our seminaries. I was telling this to a 51-year-old man over in the gymnasium here in the locker room last week. He says, I read about it. He says, I'm going to make some phone calls. He's going to do something about it. Be encouraged. You've been out on vicarage. You come from a parish. You know somebody that has this obedience to the basics of the teachings, is willing to study, has the qualifications. Encourage one another. Give us the name. Give Bill Brage the name. Give me the name. And we'll join you in encouraging the person to assume the responsibility of passing these teachings on to the next generation, sharing them. Because every generation is going to face these terrorizing issues of sin and death. The wages of sin is death, St. Paul says in the last verses of this chapter. And that's the big terrorizing issue that we have to face, the greatest stress that we ever face, each one of us. And we have to communicate that to this generation and the next. And I want to close with an event that took place with one of our students in his own life. He was a volunteer fireman in Chicago. Defied God. He says, I curse God, I tore up the Bible and burned it in the trash. One morning he got an emergency call. Boat accident on Lake Michigan, and he went over there to see what he could do to help, and the body had washed up on the shore. He turned the body over. He says, I looked into the face of that young dead man. He was about my age. And for the first time in my life, I asked, what's going to happen to me when I die? And while thinking of this and in this context later, someone came to me and witnessed to me, read the Bible, told me about the grace of Jesus Christ. I fell down on my knees and I confessed to Christ. I surrendered my life to Him. I learned that Jesus Christ brought life and love into this world. And I want to share it with others. Amen.